Alrighty, you guys are off the record. No, on the record.
Yes!
On the record.
I mean, Glass has to make at least $75 million, right?
I think you're right. I think you're right.
I think John Trek.
Even if it's got bad reviews, it makes $75 million.
Like, they've definitely spent over $100 million just marketing the damn thing.
I feel like 80 is the minimum.
Yeah.
That it makes.
But again, rated R thing that is not reviewing well.
The not reviewing well is gonna be the problem. Like if you bank on word of mouth will push this re-narrative of M. Night Shyamalan made a good X-Men movie,
right?
And the movie's not even good, then that's
troubling.
The wind out of the sails.
Okay, so here's the important thing: of my entire family, there was one family member that got me to try Bandersnatch. Everybody lock in your guesses. You know, there are five members of my family. We're not counting the dog.
Penny.
Okay. So you say Penny, what do you say, Tom?
Oh, so immediate, like in your house family.
Not yeah.
Like,
yeah,
I meant
yeah.
Mom, dad, that kind of, okay. Bonnie.
Nope. Bonnie. No.
I said Penny, but I meant Josie.
Okay, you're right. My 11-year-old Josie. My 11-year-old Josie was the one who was interested. And we got it right up to the point where she selected, yes, do the LSD. And meanwhile, Bonnie's like, what are you doing? And I was like, Bonnie, they're called mirror neurons. It's fine. This is fantasy, whatever. And then, I don't know, we ran out of time.
It's a decent LSD scene.
Yeah.
In terms of like, the global culture of doing films about LSD with LSD scenes and
sure.
and dream sequences and stuff.
Well, we got to the part where it's like, so which one of us is going to jump off this building, me or you?
Yeah.
And then she went to be like, you, you know, and I found myself being like, no, us, that'll be more interesting. Like explaining to my 11-year-old how story shapes
so
work.
So what was it? Because if you were watching it in a group, but it sounds like you guys stopped before you got to an ending.
Yeah, just the two of us. And then we just ran out of time last night. And plus also, like, the most charitable interpretations say that to, quote unquote, do it right is going to be a 4-hour journey. So being 30 minutes in, it's like, all right, we'll get around to it. Yeah. It just felt like work. And having done as much as we did, it felt like I could see it felt more Black Mirror-y than I expected it to, because it was a bit of an introspective turn of like, okay, what does it mean to be in control of your life or to give people choices?
I think one of my big complaints about it, which even saying it feels
cheap.
I don't know. I don't love this criticism, but it doesn't. It has the feeling and the energy of a Black Mirror story, but I feel like no part of the conflict or the conceit regarding technology feels like a Black Mirror issue. I won't get more into it, but I feel like the things it tries to say don't have anything to do with technology or don't have anything to do with reality, and that feels unfortunate because even those parts don't get dive. Like, that's the problem with it feels like they kind of give you a few different ways to think about it, and in doing that doesn't dive into any of them, and none of them feel realistic or lifelike.
But here's the thing, and this may be too meta, which may be why it fails, but I think the commentary about technology is about the technology that you're using to watch it.
Sure.
And that's reflected in the game being a choose your own adventure.
But I think even in that reading, now granted, I only saw one of the like five real endings that are supposedly in there. But even even in the one that I saw, which seemed to lean a little into that narrative, I didn't feel like they didn't. It's not an explicit thing, and I feel like if you give it to me at the end and you say, oh, actually, it was about you, then I need a big punch of that.
See,
and I
that's
don't...
I think that's another problem with it, is if you only saw one of the endings, you haven't seen the show.
Right.
Well, you're not getting a full view on it.
Yeah.
And that's a problem, because how many people are going to put in the hours, literally hours, it takes to go through all of the permutations and see multiple endings? We only saw, I think, three, maybe four of the endings. So I still haven't even seen all five.
I think
but having
five,
seen
could, yeah.
the special Easter egg ending along with the other two that I remember, I have a much different perspective on it because of that.
This reminds me, I think of Bandersnatch a lot in parallel to full motion video games, because I think it's probably the most similar stylistically. Mm-hmm. But another game that came out in early 2017, Nier Automata, the conceit of that game, one of the broad structural parts of that game is that you technically beat it multiple times. And a lot of people who play that game, even when there's a message explicitly after you beat it the first time, which is like a 10 to 20 hour campaign, it is, hey, this is a message from the Square Enix PR staff. Thank you for enjoying this game. You should play this game again because there is more answers in here, right? Mm-hmm. People reading that, and then you start it again and you're like, oh, this is a different perspective on the same game, but this is pretty much the same campaign. And I think that that gets people to know that there's multiple things. But even if you go halfway through the second time, you're like, well, I don't want to do this again. I'm running through the same exact stuff. I'm getting right. a little bit more. But the problem is once you
But if you go back through Bandersnatch, things do change, even if it's the same scene.
But I had that. We had that when we had game overs. We would go back and it would like sometimes mm-hmm. give us a recap, and the recap would have those different bits in it. And I was like, well, this is not sophisticated because you're telling you, oh yeah, remember there's weird stuff the second time, but we didn't have that weird stuff in like its original space.
Mm-hmm.
But to finish off this Nier thing, if you stop in the middle of that second playthrough, you don't get to the end of the playthrough where it says, okay, cool, now here's a new story in the world, part C and D, play it again, brand new campaign, all new stuff, and people legitimately don't know that that's there. Or had trouble getting to that part, and that's a real problem structure.
We're still talking about Final Fantasy, right?
This is Nier Automata. It's not Final Fantasy, but the video game.
But the video game, seriously, not the TV Brian. Show.
Right. But yeah, it's an issue of multiple endings. Right. It's a right. problem with multiple endings, and if you don't tell people there are multiple endings, or if
yeah,
you can't...
Well, you saw a taste of that in the Stanley Parable, where it's like if you hit a blind spot and didn't know to, you know, jump off as the thing goes by and jump off on a catwalk and run off to this other thing,
right.
then some of the very best parts of the game just, you know, never manifested themselves to you.
Yeah. Stanley Parable benefits, though, by being very short.
Correct.
You can get, like, that game has about a dozen or so endings, and you can encompass that in a couple of hours.
Right.
You know,
although all told, if you want to experience all of them, I mean, it does add up. It ends up being like a 4, possibly 5 hour experience.
Sure. But that's multiple playthroughs compared to Bandersnatch, which you're looking about 4 or 5 full narrative experiences.
Right.
I guess.
Correct.
It's a tough thing. And I don't think a lot of mediums have figured out multiple endings, which I think is a bigger problem.
But this is how you figure it out, right?
Yeah. Oh, sure.
There have been plenty of multiple ending attempts on apps with video,
yeah.
and a lot of them have had even worse problems. So I think that while it's fine to pick at the things that are deficient with Bandersnatch, and there are things that are deficient,
yeah.
I don't think we should lose sight of the fact that this is a huge advance in storytelling. It's like when, you know, plays decided to just not have the chorus anymore and just tell the story. And that was huge, right? If back in the Greek days, it was only the chorus. And then they started having people do lines, and they're like, hey, this lines thing is pretty good. We still have the chorus on stage here. We haven't figured out how Choose Your Own Adventure works, but this is a huge step along the road.
Yeah, I wish the early choices weren't so objectively irrelevant, like the choosing Thompson twins or the
Yeah, but you can get past that. That's kind of helping people who aren't as advanced as you, Brian. You know what to expect.
I need to
get used to this, and you're like, hey, pick a Thompson twins song. That's fun. Let's just get you into it.
I
think you can ignore that stuff.
I perceived it as the opposite because it made me fearful that, wait, are you telling me that which tape I played has a consequence down the, am I going to have to start it again and pick
but
a different tape?
I think that's also for the fun of it, is that you don't know, and it makes it feel a little more real.
Yeah, man, if it turns out that the breakfast cereal,
that's the kind of thing you can decide to let it bother you and you won't have as good time, but you can also decide to not let it bother you.
Well, no, it's something that I note and have to hold on to. So like, and I don't know this, I'm not far enough along through the narrative experience to know, but if I read an article tomorrow that explains to me that the breakfast cereal I picked and the song I listened to on a tape had major consequences in the story, I'm gonna not be happy with this piece of art. It's gonna make me.
Well, that's
bummed
the difficulty
out.
Of talking to you when you haven't finished your work.
Correct. Yeah, but like, understand, I am midway through this piece of art, and I
don't
am cautious and on guard because I am afraid I will feel like a sucker if it turns out those things turn out
just
to be
true.
Just
let go of that, though. Just enjoy it.
Okay, so let me.
Don't
tell
worry
you.
About feeling like a sucker. Nobody's gonna know.
Okay. If there's ever a property that you should definitely go into being worried about being made the sucker, it's going to be a Black Mirror thing where you're given a choice. I am on guard times a thousand.
The one thing I can guarantee is, like, this has nothing to do with you. You can't. What they designed well is you will have an interesting story no matter what you choose. You can't do it wrong. You just do it differently.
Okay. I still have yet to find this out, but I will tell you that 30 minutes in and five choices in, I am still convinced that at the end, this will be an indictment that will make me feel uncomfortable with myself, because that is the brand. That is what Black Mirror has established that it's very good at doing.
Is that what you're defining as making you feel like a fool? Because I feel like you've brought this up before, the idea of feeling like a fool after consuming something. And that feels like you're ascribing a very public term to a very personal experience.
Well, for example, let's say that it turns out that anybody who picks the Thompson twins never gets any of the five, you know, complete or good endings or whatever, then I would feel a bit like a sucker. And I would feel like a chump for having invested in a poorly designed video game, basically.
But that feels like bearing the weight of a poorly designed or poorly structured object on yourself rather than being able to criticize it rightfully for being bad.
Well, and that's fine, and I most certainly would very loudly criticize it, but maybe it's a holdover from having played a lot of bad, poorly designed games in the 1980s, where it leaves me with this residual on guardness, where it's like, no, it's entirely possible that hours and hours will be spent watching something that goes nowhere because because you shouldn't have trusted the people who are doing this thing. Now, in this case, you know, Black Mirror is a property that I in general trust or whatever, mm-hmm. but I still have that low grade fear. Which brings me to my proposal. I was thinking about Trending Lemon, your new podcast.
Hey, trendinglemon.com.
Yeah, Trending Lemon. What if there was, it wouldn't be a BuzzFeed quiz, but it would feel like that, right?
Yes, I've heard your proposal of this, I believe,
okay.
The shoot day. But for Tom and the listeners who don't know what this is.
Correct. Okay, so my idea, Tom, is you forward someone, hey, take this quiz, find out what kind of person you are based on what card you pick. And then it just says, select a suit. And you pick, you know, black or red. You pick clubs or diamonds or whatever. And then now pick a card. You do whatever. And it's like... you're somebody who appreciates others. You've got weaknesses, but you're able to compensate for them. You'd like and admire blank, blank, and blank. And you're like, yeah. And you hit next. And it's like, you have an extensive family, like probably two or three kids. You've been through it. You're like, yeah. You hit next. And they're like, you probably recently got divorced. And then you keep on going.
I think you skipped a step in this process, but yeah.
Well, so as you keep on going through what it reveals about you, it basically picking a card out of the deck, it gets increasingly precise where it starts detailing psychological problems. Basically, the whole thing is a experiment to reveal what cookies, what your Facebook profile, what your credit record says about you. You spent $275 last month on alcohol, you know, like all of this stuff. And then that would be the real end of it, is the darkness of what feels like an innocuous quiz turns out to be like a revealing of the footprint of your digital profile you're revealing to the world.
And part of this was that you would authenticate with Facebook before you do this.
Or I would imagine that there are more sophisticated things that would be like using tracking cookies or pixels from other things.
You'd have to pay, but you could just get access to profile information. The thing is, most of that stuff really is aggregated. It's not identified to an actual person. So, and they're getting tighter and tighter about how you can identify a logged in, like an actual person. So I would be curious how much you can actually tell about an individual versus what actually happens is you say, I want my ad to run in front of everybody who meets these criteria. And then Facebook on its end puts the ad in front of people, but it never tells the person buying the ad. So there's not a way for you to actually tell anything about an individual through that system.
Well, if you bought an increasingly specific set of nested ads, you're familiar with Akinator, right? The 20 questions robot that basically. So imagine Akinator. You think you're playing a game.
I totally get what you're talking about. I wonder if that's possible. It might be. And that would be a significant demonstration of privacy issues. I don't know that you can do that. Be interesting to find out, though.
It would be expensive, certainly.
There's a lot of FUD out there about, you know, targeting and people overreacting and thinking things are possible that aren't. This would be a really almost, I would call it an important investigation into what actually could be told.
Yeah. I think a very bare bones version of this that you could do today is a take on the space station card trick.
The mind control scam that we did.
Yeah, with the different professors and stuff. Where on Facebook, but do it reverse. On Facebook, take out ads targeting specific demos and say, okay, I want this video ad to track, to be sent to, you know, married women, and this ad says,
pre-select, you do different versions of the ads. Mm-hmm. And so one version of the ad only goes to married women who seem to have recently divorced, who have two more or more kids or whatever. And it says, and all the ad says is, take this quiz to find out what we know about you or whatever.
I'm thinking really stripped down is that, you know, you make the video and the video, they see the video and the video, it says it in the video, and it can be a message of like, this is like Facebook gave us this data. We found you. Like, you could be upfront about how you did this and kind of get people thinking about how very specifically targeted they are.
Sure.
To the point of even like
that violates Facebook terms.
What's that?
You think?
I wonder if any of that violates Facebook terms.
I wonder.
Man, that only makes it more punk rock art in my book. Mm-hmm. If it does.
Yeah.
You know, like spending money and it's like, hey man, you cash the checks, Facebook. We're just the ones who made this giant Banksy style art project.
They're cracking down more and more on that kind of stuff. Yeah. So you might not make it out of the gate.
Whereas you might have
5 years ago, you might not now.
They had all but that again, illegal
be interesting to find out
stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, anyway, that's an interesting art idea that I had.
Hey, Tom.
Yeah, Bryce.
Have you started sparking joy in your life?
No.
Oh, you have? Oh, I definitely thought you would have been into Marie Kondo with Tidying Up.
No, I have not watched it.
Oh, I feel like you guys would love it.
Yeah, Eileen's way into it. But she said she started one episode and didn't finish it. It's kind of like a Queer Eye, but for organization is what it sounds like, where she comes in and helps people solve their problems.
Yeah,
basically.
Basically. And you get like the tips that, you know, are in her book and her videos.
We're watching Korean and Chinese dramas about people who fly through the air and kick each other in the head in heaven.
Well,
it's pretty great.
Nice.
Well, when you're done with Dragon Ball Z.
Actually, Ashes of Love is the one I'm watching right now. And it is basically an MMO turned into a story.
Wow.
Like it's if you like World of Warcraft, you'll probably like this.
And it takes place in like a virtual world, like a Sword Art Online thing?
There are series like Memories of Alhambra that have augmented reality as part of the
conceit,
the plot. But Ashes of Love takes place in the six regions of heaven.
Oh, wow, that's cool.
So it's all like, but the regions kind of correspond to zones, and there's bosses that they have to team up to take down.
Oh, interesting. I mean,
they don't call them bosses, but it's you can tell, like, they're all, you know, shooting their various magical essences at people, and
they're doing video game logic on everything.
Yeah, totally.
But it sounds like a Romance of the Three Kingdoms type of conceit. You could make like kind of how like the Monkey Hero / Journey West stuff is have a lot of parallels in
totally
Chinese.
Yeah, no, it draws on a lot of those same tropes.
Yeah, very cool.
Because the Ashes of Love starts with the goddess of flowers is mad. Well, she's having her baby with the god of water, but at the same time, the god of water is marrying another woman.
Oh.
And so she wants to hide her baby so that it won't run into trouble, wants to protect it from danger. So she gives it a pill to prevent it from ever being able to feel romantic love, so it can never be hurt.
Oh, that's like very like.
And then the goddess of flowers dies, and the flower fairies hide the baby by telling her she's a grape elf instead of a fairy.
That's great. I love all of that. That sounds very fun.
It's not like Wizard of Oz fairies and midgets stuff. It's all very Warcrafty elf kind of stuff.
Yeah, and that's, you guys are watching all that stuff on Viki.
This one's on Netflix, actually.
Oh, very cool. Very cool.
Tom.
Ooh. Brian.
Should I shut up and watch Roma? Should both of us promise to watch Roma?
I think Tom has seen Roma, right?
No. Both of us, you and me. Like you haven't seen Roma, have you?
Well, I saw about two-thirds of it. I need to watch it when I'm fully awake.
I'm just curious what you think of it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not convinced you'll like it as much as I did, but I'd be very curious what you think. And it won the Critics' Choice Award for Best Picture. It's got a real good shot of winning the Oscar.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. I watched it with the parents, and I was having trouble staying awake for it. But I think I saw like two or three of the big moments of it, and they were great. But I think my parents didn't like it because they thought it was a very artsy-fartsy movie.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I mean, I guess if you want to look at it, right, it's a black and white foreign language film.
Human events, so you can never look at any one thing and go, that's different.
That's
like, it's all a collection of things that happen to people.
Probably worth the watch. It's subtitled, so it doesn't have an English dub, right?
No.
Yeah.
Hey man, new album 1 week and 1 day from today.
Yeah, go to nightattack.tv and go to the mailing list at the bottom of that page.
Should we watch a comedy next after Dirk Gently? Or is Dirk Gently a comedy?
I think it's very much a comedy, but
yeah, it is a comedy, isn't it? Yeah. I was thinking like a more traditional like Veep or Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Oh my God, those are long.
Suggesting those are Veep the office. Like something along those lines versus Dirk Gently, which is a little off the wall.
Because Veep is only like five seasons, and those are like HBO 10 episode seasons.
Okay. All right.
No, Veep is still running. I think Veep's next season is going to be its last. Is that right? Or is that?
I think that's right. Yeah. So we probably don't want to pick that one yet.
Unless it starts airing soon. I mean,
the Larry Sanders Show is critically acclaimed.
Ooh, Larry Sanders would be good. It's supposed to be great.
You've never seen Larry Sanders?
I've seen an episode here or there.
Yeah.
Right.
Same here. Yeah. I kind of caught him as they.
But like that was the first time I ever saw Bobcat Goldthwait out of his stage character, and it was really amazing to me.
Veep was renewed for its seventh and final season, expected to premiere spring 2019. Okay. So you could
I'm going to say, if you're a patron and you could think of something shorter than Larry Sanders, like Larry Sanders to me suddenly is the baseline. That's like The Wire, one that I've known that is I need to get to. Same. But if you could think of something to squeeze in before that,
Larry Sanders is 90 episodes.
Oh my God. That's 2 years, buddy. We're getting ready. Wow. You want to buckle up.
That's a lot of Larry Sanders.
That's a lot. And are these hour longs too? These might be hour longs too.
Oh boy.
Okay.
Oh no, they're 30 minutes. So okay. You could even that double helps. Up if you wanted to.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. If you could beat Larry Sanders, well, I mean,
in terms of length.
If you could defeat him in, like, right now, he's the champion. Come at Larry Sanders if you have something better for us.
Larry Sanders is standing here, you know, motioning you to come at
him. We're not going to do a full tournament. Like, basically, he's currently standing in the ring. If you have somebody to take on Larry Sanders, make your case.
Cordkillers@gmail.com.
All righty. Well, we'll talk to you guys next time.
Everybody, say goodbye.
XOXO.